All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Previews. Today, this is the shorter episode where we just kind of talk about Marvel and DC. Well, I guess it doesn't have to necessarily be the shorter episode. But, yeah, we're going to talk about the previews. I'm going to help you order from the previews, tell you what's good, what's not, and, well, we'll see what happens. But this is for you. This is a tool for you, from one tool to the other, so that you can make the correct decisions and spend your hard-earned money better on New Comic Book Day. So if you're wondering, this is previews number 370. This is July 2019. That will hit shelves on September 2019. And if you have any questions about this or how we do things around here, you can get at us at Capes and Scowls on the Twitter, at Capes and Scowls Podcast at gmail.com. Me personally, Mad Dog Tim, at Mad_Dog_Tim on Twitter. The Instagram is kind of a mix of me and the podcast, at Capes and Scowls Podcast. So, there's a bunch of places to find us if you have questions about this. And just side note, I apologize for any noises getting picked up. I'm trying to record in a very quiet area, but sometimes you just gotta record with what you got, when you got it. So here we go. First up, let's talk about DC. Now, DC is doing their Year of the Villain one-shots, and it looks like they're going to kick it off with Lex Luthor, Year of the Villain number one, which is written by Jason Latour, and The Riddler, Year of the Villain number one, which is written by Mark Russell. I like both these guys. I'm very curious to see what Mark Russell will do with The Riddler, because The Riddler is one of, if not my favorite, villains. Because he's just different. And Mark Russell is a different kind of writer. He can do anything. He's your guy who did, God is Disappointed in You. He also did The Flintstones, on top of his just regular superhero work. Lex Luthor is just kind of handing out goodies to the villains to make them stronger, is basically the idea of this. He sets out to meet alternate versions of himself from other dimensions. The Riddler wasn't handed any gifts from Luthor, and he wants to know if it's a mistake or an insult. And that right there, as a description, I really enjoy. The Riddler feeling slighted is great, because it gives him purpose, because he's so smart. He is an arrogant, but somewhat justifiably arrogant character, so I'm curious to see where this goes. What if it really was a mistake? That would be something, wouldn't it? So we'll see where that goes. These Year of the Villain one-shots will keep happening. Usually when they do things like this, some are good, some are great, some are junk. I think if you just really enjoy a character, that's the one you pick up. And then if you find out these were the greatest things ever, you can pick them up and trade later. Or you could try to hunt down the back issues. Sometimes they're still orderable, so ask your local store. Next up, we have Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, number one. The duo finally gets their own ongoing, and this continues their story from Heroes in Crisis and the events that took place at Sanctuary. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail about Heroes in Crisis, because that is still pretty fresh, pretty new. People can still try to pick up those issues. It's not out in trade yet, so it is new. Like I said, things went down, for sure. So now the duo is on the run from hero and villain alike, and this is a very good transition book. This is going to transition Heroes in Crisis with You're the Villain. So I actually kind of enjoy that fact. I enjoy that the two are merging together in a way that makes sense. Doesn't necessarily mean this is the most important book ever, but at least they did it. At least they tried. Next up, keeping the Poison Ivy theme going, Batman number 181 facsimile edition. These facsimile editions are really sweet. Marvel and DC are both cranking them out, where you can pay today's prices for yesterday's first appearances. And we have the first appearance of Poison Ivy. If you love Poison Ivy, I definitely recommend this, clearly, because on top of the fact that it's her first appearance, this book is just very hard to find, especially in any good condition. The book has been harder and harder and harder in recent years. I think I've personally seen it twice in the last 5 years, and both times they were near rag condition, so keep that in mind. But if you just want to read the origin of one of your favorite characters, here you go. In all its glory, the facsimile edition of 181. Yeah, not that 181. Now this one's pretty interesting. This is a new Black Label book, probably a miniseries like all the others. It's Harleen number one. This reimagines Harley and Joker's origins together. And what is very cool about it is written and it has art by Steven Sajic, who is fantastic. Somewhere on the internet there's a picture of he and I together. And Leander loves him, if you'll remember. That's Leander's favorite human being on Earth, because of his work on Rat Queens, along with Sunstone in particular. So he also did, as far as DC work, he did Suicide Squad, so He has a very awesome art style, painted style art style. Black Label is your 17 and up crowd kind of book. Harley's story is, I feel, because Harley came out of the animated series, they tiptoed around the darker kind of storyline there. I mean, they did tackle things that were impressive for the time. But I think there is room to retell her origin and show the dark psychological side of her origin, her interactions with the Joker. I'm sure this will be a great book, and it'll be pretty if not. Next up, DC wants you to flash forward. Number one, this is Wally West's new book, After Heroes in Crisis. This is by Scott Lobdell with art by Brett Booth and Norm Ratman. I don't want to go in again because it ties into Heroes in Crisis, which is still super fresh. I don't want to go into super detail about it. I am a huge fan of Wally West. I'm a little sad of how he's been treated, even if Heroes in Crisis did leaps and bounds to sort of rectify some of the issues in the past. Me, I hold a grudge. I'm super stubborn. I don't like how Wally was treated when the New 52 thing happened, and I don't like that he just disappeared for a while when Barry came back and they never addressed it. They created a new Barry Allen, which is totally fine, but they kind of want to retcon the old one. You know my gripe about Wally West. I won't go. Next up, Legion of Superheroes Millennium number one. This is by Brian Michael Bendis, and he's going to attempt to connect a slew of timelines. That just sounds like punishment. Why are you doing that to yourself, Bendis? I like Bendis's style of writing. He can do pretty much anything. I am curious to see how he will handle essentially a team book, because in my personal opinion, and you may not agree with me, I feel Bendis is at his weakest writing teams. I feel like he's at his best writing street level, one-on-one, at most the Defenders, handful of characters. I don't know. I'm not saying he can't do it, but he's going to have to go about it a certain way, I think. The Legion of Superheroes, while beloved to older fans, have not been treated at all well in the newer DC continuity. Next up, we have Gotham City Monsters, number one, by Steve Orlando and I'm so bad at this. Nahaupen? Just Google it. Google Gotham City Monsters and then tell me how to pronounce that, because I'm terrible. But basically, this is your monster team. This is coming off of the heels of Marvel just doing their own monster team. This will be interesting. Your team is Killer Croc, Lady Clayface, Orca, Frankenstein, and Andrew Bennett. He's a vampire. It focuses a little bit on events that are happening in Event Leviathan. So if you're digging that, which is a heavy noir kind of story with huge implications, world-shattering, world-ending implications, perhaps. But it ties into that in that Frankenstein is now free. He's kind of on his own, and he's throwing this team together loosely, seems to be the plot. But it's a cool idea. If you're just in on monsters, you're going to have a great time in the upcoming months. So my next pick is Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, number three. You might be asking, why aren't you telling me about the number one? Well, we didn't do this that month. But also, I think this book just looks super interesting, and it's a great team. You have Matt Fraction writing and Steve Lieber doing the art. I really like that combo. I really want to see more from it. But just looking at the description of this particular issue, it looked really sweet. It looked really cool. And I just love Lieber. I love Lieber. I know Fraction can absolutely do it as well. Check it out. I think it's going to end up being one to watch. Now for some trade recommendations out of the DC side, and then we'll go on to Marvel. We've got Doomsday Clock Part 1 Hardcover, which covers issues 1 through 6. Hey, didn't we think this issue'd be over like a year ago? Nope. But hey, it's still good. So if you were the smart person who waited for trade, because this definitely reads probably better as a trade since I've forgotten everything that happened in issues 1 through 5, you should pick this up for sure. And maybe don't open it. Leave it shrink-wrapped until the other one comes out. Now we got Goddess Mode trade from Zoe Quinn and Robbie Rodriguez. Life with a Godlike AI. This book, I know Paul from Team Ashen's channel, where I appear occasionally. I appear at least once a week. He loves it. He loves it. This is one of those new Vertigo titles, while Vertigo is on the way out the door. But this one's a really weird kind of book. It's a weird morality kind of story with future tech, but it's not quite as deep and heavy as like a Ghost in the Shell kind of story. So I think it does exactly what it wants to. I think Robbie Rodriguez is so good. He did what? Spider-Gwen? Or one of them spider books? Miles? No, I think he did Spider-Gwen. It doesn't matter. The guy's great. Check him out. Speaking of Vertigo books that are no more, we got Hexwives, trade paperback by Ben Blacker, Mirka, Andolfo, and Joel Jones covers. God, I love Joel Jones. Joel Jones, you're the best. I tell you every time I see you or get a chance. So Joel Jones, you're the best. It's essentially witches fighting a rich family through generations. The rich family just barely survives because you're fighting witches. And in the current era, they've pretty much tricked the witches through sorcery and spells and whatnot that they are actually marry the witches. And they have no idea they're witches anymore due to the spell. It's a crazy story. It starts a little slow, but when it goes, oh man. So check that book out. And then Naomi, Season 1 Hardcover by Brian Michael Bendis and David F. Walker with Jamal Campbell. If you're not familiar with this, I interviewed David F. Walker. You can find that on the site. Guy is a genuinely awesome person, and I really like this book. This was a breakout hit for DC. I don't think it was on everybody's radar, but once I read that first issue, I knew this book is going to be something. Basically, it's a new teen superhero. She thinks she's just a regular kid. You find out she probably isn't. And then it's kind of a mystery story to unwrap all her baggage and figure out what she is, what's going on, what's up with this town, other questions. All right, switching to Marvel now. First up, we have Spider-Man. Just Spider-Man. It's a mini-series. It's a 5-issue mini. Issue 1 comes out this month. It is written by J.J. Abrams. Yep, that J.J. Abrams. And Henry Abrams. Who the hell's that? That's his son. Which is weird. With art by Sarah Pacelli. Who is Cadaverous? I don't know if his... I assume it's a younger son. I don't know how well he writes. I don't know if he's ever written anything. I wonder if this is just like J.J. Abrams is going to write and his son drew a character and they're going to throw it in. I don't know to what extent. A lot of people are not thrilled with this because of that. I don't think it's that big of a deal. So I think you should just enjoy it for what it is. It's a 5-issue Spider-Man mini. If it's not great or if it's not your cup of tea, you can largely ignore it. But J.J. Abrams, kind of cool. He's writing some comics right now. So I think you should check it out. Now we go to Strike Force number 1 by Teeny Howard and Jermaine Peralta. Covers by Andrea Sorrentini. This will be a new ongoing. This features Blade, Angela, Wiccan, Spider-Woman, Winter Soldier, Monica Rambeau, Damian Hellstorm. It needs darker heroes to fight an unusual villain from Blade's past. Sounds cool. I don't know how it's going to work long-term as an ongoing, but the idea of Blade has a lot of supernatural villains from his past. So pulling from, you know, some old 70s books, I kind of dig that. Even if they just invented it, the idea of pulling from some 70s books, I enjoy it. So it's a team with Blade as your leader, or assumed leader. He's forming the team. And heroes that aren't as affected by heroism, in a way, because somehow the villain feeds off of that. So he needs the darker kind of heroes. I don't think this is Justice League Dark, but I don't think it's too far off from it. But Teeny Howard's been on a tear, so it's probably worth checking out. Now I'm going to recommend Amazing Spider-Man number 30. It is a tie-in with Absolute Carnage, that big event that is happening, mostly by Donny Cates. So the only reason I picked this is I just want to see Ryan Otley draw Carnage, and I get it in this issue. So it's a beautiful thing, his art. I loved Invincible. I wants to see this. Next up, Crazy number 1. Do you remember Crazy? Probably not. Do you remember Obnoxio the Clown? Maybe. Maybe it's that one X book you have in your collection that you're like, I don't even know what this is. Well, that clown is back. Jerry Dugan, Frank Thierry, John Adams, Don Simpson, Scott Koblish, John McCrea, David Nakayama. All these people are here. It's a huge talent pool. I'm excited for Don Simpson. Huge talent pool, and they are going to tell you the story of Obnoxio the Clown and just other weird, silly stories. It's not quite Mad Magazine, but it's in that ballpark. So I think you should check it out if you're into humor and you want to just have something silly. You need something to lighten your mood, lighten your day. That clown will get it done. Next up, we have Web of Black Widow, number 1 of 5. This is by Jody Hauser, Stephen Mooney, and Jungin Yoon. Boy, I probably did that one wrong. Black Widow Year 1, a figure from her past returns. Super generic description, but hey, basically calling it Black Widow Year 1, you kind of know what you're getting. This will be her when she's not as talented, she's new to the game, and she's dealing with things in that manner. It's always fun. Look at Batman Year 1. Look at Green Arrow Year 1. All of these books made the hero more relatable because they're not as talented as they become. And they're dealing with a different kind of set of values in their youth. So I'm curious to see where this goes. Next up, King Thor. King Thor, number 1 of 4 by Jason Aaron and Issad Ribic, along with Adam Kubert, Geraldo Zaffino. Loki has all black, the Necro Sword, which is bad, by the way. And this is, it's just him and Old Man Thor essentially fighting. I really like the art on this. This is the end of the era for Aaron and Ribic. They've written Thor since like 2014 or something. They've been writing Thor for a very long time. Everything with Jane Foster Thor and a series or two ahead of it. I think it's nice that they're getting a miniseries to put a cap on that run. And I like that it's Old Man Thor, essentially. This next one I'm on the fence about. It's Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda. It's written by Jim Zub, who's always solid, and Lan Medina, and Jorge Molina, and Linnell Francis Yu working on it as well. It's T'Challa, Gorilla Man, Kazar, Wasp, and Okoye. It's basically them versus a technologically advanced rival country to Wakanda. I'm a little tired of team-up books, and as you can tell by what I've done already between both this and DC, there's a ton of them, and a ton more on the way. I like that with Black Panther, often Wakanda is the main character, and this is kind of pulling on that. Zub is great. I have no doubt and nothing but confidence in Zub. I just think it's a weird team. It's a weird team, and I don't know how well they're going to gel, how it's going to work. It's like, hey, here's all the jungle people. Like, why? Why is Kazar there? Why is Gorilla Man there? I don't know. But hopefully there's some thought behind it. Hopefully it's good. I don't know. But on the flip side of my woe and concern, you got Zub and you have Wakanda as the main character, essentially. That is good. So if you love Black Panther, this is probably a must-have for you. Now let's talk about the true believers for this month. It's a Hulk month. First, we got to talk about the Other Hulks, which is a prototype Hulk from Journey into Mystery being reprinted. That's always fun. And then Head of Banner. This is one of my favorite issues. It's Hulk number 6, you know, before he went into Tales to Astonish and then came back at issue 102. This is issue 6, and this is this awesome story with the Metal Master. If you haven't read it, order this one, because it's so much fun. And for $1, I think you'll love it. Next up, another facsimile edition. We have Son of Satan, Marvel Spotlight number 12. This is the first Damian Hellstrom. That book is going to start heating up even more because of a Hulu series, assuming that'll go through. So his first appearance, just gonna go through the roof. So there it is. You want to read it? Nah, this is probably the easiest way. Now, the book I'm most excited for, because of course I am, we have Moon Knight, annual number 1. This is that Acts of Evil book I mentioned last month, and it is Moon Knight versus Kang the Conqueror. I got to see some of the art from this, and I am even more pumped than I was before. Shocking. This book is fantastic. I know it. It has to be. Ordered 100 of them. Next up, Alpha Flight True North number 1, the secret history of classic Alpha Flight members. And it has a slew of Canadian creators, which I like. It's got Zub, it's got Ed Brisson, it's got Jed McKay, it's got Max Dunbar. I don't know if this is the greatest thing ever. I don't know how long it's gonna go, but I do enjoy Canadian stories, I do enjoy Canadian creators, and I definitely enjoy Alpha Flight. Last for this part of the previews, we've got some trades to talk about. We have Black Bolt hardcover. This is the Eisner winning series, issues 1 through 12. It is a $34.99 hardcover. That series did really well, won a bunch of awards. It was nominated for a bunch of others. Check it out. I really, the art was so good. It's hard for me to be like, man, that writing was so good when I'm just drooling all over that art. But check it out. I think you'll dig it. It was the good thing that happened in Marvel, pushing the Inhumans in our face. Next, we have Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys the Marvel history. We have Major X. We have Miss Marvel by Saladin Ahmed, number 1. That's the magnificent Miss Marvel run. We have Spider-Man Life Story by Zdarsky, who is very quickly becoming one of my favorite Marvel writers. We have Star Wars TIE Fighter. We have Man-Wolf, the complete collection. I really dig that. And we have Adventures of Spider-Man, Spectacular Foes graphic novel, which is actually based on the old animated series from the 90s. So get on it. You know you want more 90s Spider-Man. Has that ever been released on DVD or Blu-ray? Because that is one of the few Marvel animated things that was actually stellar. All right, and that's it for this. Come on back tomorrow, or just click on it if this has been out for a day or two. And check out the big previews. I'll go over everyone else. Image, Dark Horse, IDW, Dynamite, your buddy's book that somehow made it in the previews in the back. We'll go over it all. Later.